But she was not without hope. Trust in God sustained her, and from time to time secular sources supplemented her faith in His forthcoming mercy. She read of a miracle medicine, heard of a new therapy, or, as most recently, decided to believe that a pinched nerve was to blame. "Little things really belong to you," she said, folding the fan. "They don't have to be left behind. You can carry them in a shoebox."
"Carry them where to?"
"Why, wherever you go. You might be gone for a long time."
Some years earlier, Mrs. Clutter had traveled to Wichita for 2 weeks of treatment and remained 2 months. On the advice of a doctor who had thought the experience would aid her to regain a sense of adequacy and usefulness, she had taken an apartment, then found a job, as a file clerk at the YWCA. Her husband, entirely sympathetic, had encouraged the adventure, but she had liked it too well, so much that it seemed to her unchristian, and the sense of guilt she in consequence developed ultimately outweighed the experiment's therapeutic value.
"Or you might never go home. And it's important always to have with you something of your own. It's really yours."
The doorbell rang. It was Jolene's mother. Mrs. Clutter said, "Goodbye, dear," and pressed into Jolene's hand the paper fan.
"It's only a penny thing, but it's pretty."
Afterward, Mrs. Clutter was alone in the house. Kenyon and Mr. Clutter had gone to Garden City. Gerald Van Vliet had left for the day, and the housekeeper, the blessed Mrs. Helm to whom she could confide anything, did not come to work on Saturdays.
She might as well go back to bed.
The bed she so rarely abandoned that poor Mrs. Helm had to battle for the chance to change its linen twice a week. There were 4 bedrooms on the second floor, and hers was the last at the end of a spacious hall, which was bare except for a baby crib that had been bought for the visits of her grandson. If cots were brought in and the hall was used as a dormitory, Mrs. Clutter estimated, the house could accommodate 20 guests during the Thanksgiving holidays. The others would have to lodge at motels or with neighbors. Among the Clutter kinfolk, the Thanksgiving get-together was an annual turnabout to do, and this year Herb was the appointed host, so it had to be done. But coinciding as it did with the preparations for Beverly's wedding, Mrs. Clutter despaired of surviving either project. Both involved the necessity of making decisions, a process she had always disliked and had learned to dread, for when her husband was off on one of his business journeys, she was continually expected, in his absence, to supply snap judgments concerning the affairs of the farm, and it was unendurable, a torment. What if she made a mistake? What if Herb should be displeased? Better to lock the bedroom door and pretend not to hear, or say, as she sometimes did, "I can't. I don't know. Please,